Hello, I'm Stephen Allen, and welcome to Stephen Allen Almost Daily.
Hello, welcome to another podcast. We took an Easter break off. It's not like me, is it, to not do stuff, but it was pretty good. You probably enjoyed it as well. But meanwhile, we're back into trotting out some of these. I should say, just to plug my own work, I covered a show on that there, telly, if you want to hear my rant on admittedly slightly right-wing leaning media with some left-wing values, basically taking down the idea of privatisation and the mess that it leaves, literal mess it leaves us with when it comes to our water supply, and then getting the other right-wingers on the show to agree with me. That's not in the clip that you can find on social media. The whole monologue is. There's something like 17 poo jokes in there as well, so you really should track it down and enjoy it. But that's how you get people to agree with you, doing poo jokes. But we're back to this. The less serious news. How can you be less serious than an array of poo jokes? I don't know. The less serious news is where we go through the newspapers, we find some silly stories, we have a little analysis of them, and it sounds an awful lot like this. On the show today, we'll be looking at the fact that it's April already. I don't believe that it is. I never believe that it's April already, because the first day of April is when people lie to you. So one of these years, they'll be telling me it's the 1st of April, when it's not. I mean, it's not now. It's a joke I should have done yesterday, but I didn't. So let's not pay too much attention to it. Plus, we'll be getting through the word neek is in the news. Nigella Lawson's back, and I'm always a big fan when she is. Are you losing weight as a married man, especially? Apparently, that's to be frowned upon. Honestly, you can't move left, right and centre. We're told to stop being so obese. If you're a bloke and you lose weight when you're married, apparently it means, well, details of why it's bad on the way. AI might be sorting out why you can't drink properly, and tags on sweets. That's that whole story. They've put security tags on sweets. Probably won't do that one now. We've covered it in enough detail. Every so often, I get an email, actually, that tells me the word of the day. I signed up to it, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, and they're still good. I mean, it's a lot of words, I suppose. And one of them was useful for my Edinburgh show last year, Lethologica. I do a whole bit on it. But Countdown legend Susie Dent says that a new word's been added to the dictionary that winds her right up. The word is neek, N-E-E-K. It combines nerd and geek. I never really knew the difference between a nerd and a geek. And I suppose now you don't need to. It's a hybrid. They've bred, but they haven't, because they're nerds and geeks. Apparently, it describes a dull or unlikable person, particularly one with extreme interest in one subject. Susie says, it's not often a new addition to the dictionary makes my heart sink. She says, its existence has taken me right back to a childhood when I found the love of books. I've got another problem with this, right? So I was always into science growing up. I was the sciencey nerd. I loved maths, which is very difficult to be the kind of person who enjoys a bit of maths, because the people who don't like it use social pressure to make you feel bad. Do you know what I mean? When people, oh, I hate maths. Oh, I can't stand maths. And I'm like, oh, I think it's actually quite fun. It's like a puzzle. So you get a lot of that growing up. So now I tend to not mention it much. But what really bothered me was that phase. It was probably about 7 years ago or something when geek chic was around. You get lots of young, trendy people wearing glasses with no prescription in them, no glass in them sometimes. And they had lots of sciencey things on T-shirts with nerd and geek and words like that on. And that wound me up even more than having this insulting word. Because, no, you don't get to have nerdy style, young people. People being young, fashionable and trendy and having lots of friends. No, if you want to be a nerd, you do the work. You put 7 years in learning about what electrons do, and then you can come over here and wear glasses, if you actually need them, which I doubt you do. Obviously, I did at some point to get my eyes lasered, so I tried to look cool. But still, it's got lasers in it, so it's kind of nerdy, isn't it? You know me, I am borderline obsessed with Nigella Lawson. Mainly because her TV specials show that she's lost the plot, and as a fellow person who doesn't necessarily have a plot, I like it. She sneaks down and eats a lot of food at midnight. Seems to talk weird stuff on TV. You know, I got a lot in common with her. But how about this as a headline? TV cooking queen Nigella Lawson has been hailed for her wokey buns. Her wonky buns. How dare you? How dare you criticise the wonkiness of her buns? When I watch her, I'm paying attention to what she says. I know she's known for the innuendo, but try and keep eye contact, you dirt. And some of those outfits she wears are rather loose. And let's read on. She doesn't care that her hot cross buns didn't look perfect. Oh. Sorry. Whoops. For a minute there, I thought you were... Well, I presume now they're talking about the baking ones. If you're drawing a cross on it, it's even worse, isn't it, if it's the other one? Speaking of which, married men who lose 11 pounds in weight in 3 months may be cheating, according to a piece of research that just basically means you can't lose for winning or win for losing, and you can't do right for doing wrong. So if you're worried, if you're a married bloke and you're worried about losing weight, you've got to make sure you lose it slow enough not to cause suspicion. Almost three quarters of love cheats say that they've lost flab to impress a new lover. 39% say that having an affair makes them exercise more. Steady. Family show. And 34% also use the gym as an alibi for trysts. Well, that one doesn't make any sense, does it? If you're saying you're going to the gym, but you're not going to the gym, you're going to someone, her name's not Jim, do you know what I mean? You wouldn't be getting in shape. That wouldn't make any sense. Here's what you need to watch out for. If your partner's losing weight, maybe they just don't want to die young. Give them a break. But if they say they're going to the gym and they are not building up any additional muscle tone, then you got to think about it. Then again, no, that doesn't work either, does it? Because if I ever join a gym and I go regularly, I won't gain muscle tone either. Because the only machine in that place I'd use is the vending one. So, okay, more research needed. We keep talking about AI. I love doing the recap. AI was launched about a year and a half ago. We were told it means people are going to cheat at exams. Then we were told it would end humanity. Then it stops people writing songs. Then it ends humanity again. But that was the narrative. Here's the latest one. Beer drinkers will soon be toasting the bots after experts have used AI to produce the perfect pint. Is that something that bothers you? As every time you go for a pint, are you really annoyed that it's not perfect? Surely it's just, there's a realm of acceptability. As long as it's not mainly head or too expensive, which is the same things I look for on dating apps back in the day, then it's all right. But anyway, they've done it. Scientists use artificial intelligence modeling to predict perfect preferred brews, and they will choose the ingredients that will make them even better. I'm not sure that's going to help us. If they make beer even better, we'll drink more of it and it's not necessarily healthy. Is that how they're going to end humanity? Not through some Terminator-style war, just make us drink a little bit too much. Ooh, those crafty robots. Oh, those craft ale robots. There's a survey that looks at annoying things co-workers do. And I think there's probably more than what they found here. Apparently, workers are sharing too much information about their sex lives, health, and cash. Well, that could be one subject, depending on how that story goes, doesn't it? Research has found that being a blabbermouth is one of the most irritating workplace behaviours. Yeah, well, because they list different things under this category. So talking too much about yourself is apparently really annoying, but that's literally what I do for a living. But I'm sure I am annoying, so that one doesn't really count. Also on the list of behaviour, gossiping. Yes, loose lips sink ships. People who enjoy a good gossip don't realise how much they're damaging people's lives. Flirting, swearing and hugging, it then lists. Are they three separate ones, or is that all? I mean, either way, you'd have to visit HR, wouldn't you? A fifth of Britain's workers revealed that they are on the receiving end of too many intimate confessions that they wish they hadn't listened to as part of their job. Well, I mean, fair enough, I suppose. You could stop someone halfway through the story. When you know how it happens. If the story starts off with, you know, they were trying to repair a dishwasher and the plumber came round. I mean, I suppose maybe they don't all stick to that plot. But some of them certainly do. If someone's telling you a story that's got a broken down washing machine in it, and the plumber who turns up's got a moustache, bail. Get out of that story. Another update on a story we've kind of been following on the show for a while now. Sewage floating on the River Thames has been spotted. This is after the boat crew from Oxford versus Cambridge. They were taken ill. Certainly the Oxford ones were. They were having some right old tummy trouble because of the state of our rivers. So when I was on that there telly over the weekend, I did a huge rant about the state of our rivers. You can find it on my social media at Mr. Stephen Allen. Did this monologue about how it's disgraceful, isn't it, that we are, well, I said the sixth richest nation and we can't even do basic hygiene. And then since then, people on Twitter have said, we're not the sixth richest nation, we've got the sixth biggest economy. Oh, that makes it okay. Then let's have poops floating in the Thames. What? As if that somehow undermines my argument. But okay, I got the wrong stat. Apparently we're the 27th richest nation. Still, 27 on the list. I don't think it's time you need to be swimming with jobby jobs. Do you know what I mean? But So if you want to see the full rant, it's on social media. It's also, I wrote my newspaper column will be back at that some stage. I just think it's terrible that we pay all of this money for our water companies and somehow they manage to get away with, you know, leaving sewage everywhere. If I came into this studio and left sewage everywhere, I don't think I'd receive an 82% bonus at the end of the year. Put it that way. In entertainment news, Larry's not here today. In entertainment news, singer Charlene Spiteri from Texas, not the place, the band, says that the menopause made her want to murder someone. Oh dear. Probably better be careful about what jokes I do about her now. The Texas singer, the band Not The Place, 56, all right, don't point out her age, she's going through the menopause, she'll absolutely rip your head off, said that she got so bad that she forgot the lyrics to her songs. I suppose that's tricky. She said it was only after the doctor found out that she was allergic to progesterone. Oh, I see what it means. Then changed her HRT. Because for a minute there, I was thinking, I interviewed her once, Charlene Spiteri. We fell out about fizzy water. If there are loads of stories that local DJs like me have about meeting celebs, and they're quite often you fall out with them because they have no time for low lives like me, and you get aggy. Like, there was a massive falling out I had with Will Young. That's why if ever I get a chance to not play one of his songs, I do. I'm not giving him money, but he's very rude. But Charlene Spiteri, I thought we were getting on until at the end of the interview, I opened a fizzy bottle of water and she did this big rant about why I shouldn't drink it. You're a rock star. You're probably on substances I couldn't afford and you're telling me off about fizzy water. Anyway, for a minute there, I was going to say, was it the menopause that made you want to murder someone, Charlene, or just being a angry Scottish singer? And I don't want to be harsh, because if she finds out about that, she will track me down and bludgeon me with my own fizzy drink. So I'll take it all back. Nearly running out of time to cover these stories, which is good, because I just thought of another joke about this story, which I realised if I did, I'd have to go into hiding. And it's one that's so offensive, I'm not even going to do it in the podcast. But Adidas, I think that's the way you have to say it. You have to say all of these things wrong, don't you? Adidas and Nike. When I was growing up, it was Adidas and Nike. Shows your age. Adidas were forced to block fans from buying the German national team's kits after the number 44 looked like the SS emblem. Oh, dear. Why is it that people can't make a football kit without offending a nation these days? That never used to happen, did it? We get our Nike one, Nike. Mess with a St. George's flag. If you want details of that, you can read. I wrote a column for City AM. Getting into the ups and downs of that. I didn't realise the knock-on to this story would be Nazi SS emblems on the back of German kit. Obviously, then I thought, what would be the one thing you could draw on a football kit that would offend even more people? And I can't say that out loud. I mean, it would definitely offend them, but I'd have to go into hiding, so fill in your own joke. That'll do us with there, won't it? There's a lovely little story here about first-born children so that they get a harder time from their parents and their siblings. Yeah, you think that. I'm not sure you do. Obviously, I'm not a firstborn. More than two-thirds reckon that they're not the favourite child as a result of the grumpiness and resentment about the tougher bringing up. Maybe just get over it. Because I'm the third child in my family. Well, I was anyway, until we lost a sister. But I was left a little bit feral. But I don't know if my sister had a harder time over it. Certainly looking at my own two kids. Our eldest son, you know, the two-year-old, I don't think he has a harder time of it at all. In fact, the whole problem is, I've got the two-month-old daughter, the two-year-old son, and he gets so much more of our attention. And literally, me and my missus have been like, oh, she's still asleep. So she's kind of being ignored a little bit, and he's getting away with it. And it's just annoying that at some point, he'll grow up and then moan about the additional pressure he had about being the firstborn. You get to do everything first. As the third child in a family, I didn't get to grow up until I was in my mid-30s. And I would heartily recommend it. Security tags are being put on Werther's Originals. This is a cost of living crisis story, I suppose, because sweets are getting more expensive. It kind of feels like, I mean, I live without having Werther's Originals. You definitely can get by. It's not like an essential staple, isn't it? But then again, I'm not an old person who sits with kids on his lap all the time, like they do in the adverts.
How am I meant to get by without my Werther's Originals? In my day, packet of Werther's Original cost you 2p.
I can't help thinking that if the people nicking Werther's Originals are these slightly slower, slightly more pensionable types, that really makes me think that whoever's in charge of security in these shops needs to step up their game. If you can't stop a shoplifter who's in their 20s and they are running at top speed out the door, fair enough. If you can't stop small bloke going,
oh, I'm having some of these originals.
Maybe it's time to hire different security guards. Do you know what I mean? Podcast done. The stories we didn't cover was something about a beer festival fiasco that was rubbish. The tide is turning on Britain's obsession with beach huts. Do we have an obsession with it? I would seem to have not had a problem with it. You hear about drug use, you don't hear a lot of people selling themselves for a beach hut. And Lily Allen's mum feared her daughter was heading for the same fate as Amy Winehouse. What, until she heard that first album? Oh, no, she meant the death thing, I thought. You're up to date with all of the news stories that you possibly could have wanted. There'll be another of these ones making its way onto the internet within the next 24 hours, hopefully. Tweet me at Mr. Stephen Allen, and until next time.
Thank you for listening to Stephen Allen, almost, daily.